You are listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Scan the QR code to visit our website at aulc.us and find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Starting with verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son. And he named him Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries message this week. I am Art Achilles back with you again today, again sitting in for Dr. Rob White. We ask that you continue to keep Dr. Rob and his wife in your prayers as he continues with his heart issues. I also want to remind you to scan the QR code found on our thumbnails to visit our website at aulc.us, where you can find more free resources along with our past sermons online. Have you ever had a dream? Yes, I've had dreams, too. Sometimes they were scary, sometimes they were funny, sometimes they were very real. Not long ago, I learned that dreams can last for a few seconds, or as long as 20 minutes. Most people have 3 to 5 dreams per night. Most of the time, when people dream, it is because their brain is trying to make sense of what happened during the day. The Holy Bible tells several stories about dreamers and about dreams and their importance. In our Bible story, today, a young man named Joseph had a dream. You will remember the Bible story about an angel appearing to Mary. At first Mary was afraid, but then the angel told her that she would have a baby and that the baby would be the Son of God. Mary accepted what the angel told her. Mary and Joseph were planning to be married someday. When Joseph found out that Mary was going to have a baby, he was very sad. Today, we know that Mary's baby was God's son, but Joseph didn't know that. He decided that he and Mary could not get married after all. However, when Joseph went to sleep that night, he had a dream. It was a very special dream because an angel appeared to him in the dream. "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife," the angel said. The angel went on to explain that the baby would be Jesus, who would save people from their sins. That must have been an exciting dream. Joseph was glad that he would be Mary's husband, and he learned that he and Mary would raise God's son, Jesus. The angel quoted from Isaiah when he told Joseph that Jesus' name would mean, "God with us." Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Joseph didn't question the angel, or say, "Oh, this is just a dream." He believed the words the angel said. Joseph must have been glad to hear what the angel had to say. Joseph did not hesitate then. He and Mary got married and they began to plan for the time when the baby would be born. They both knew that they would name the baby Jesus just as the angel had said. Sometimes we wonder what God is doing. Just look at the state of the world. Sometimes it seems as if the bad guys hold all the power. Consider nuclear proliferation. The Pakistanis have nukes, and the North Koreans. The Iranians are on the cusp of having them. It's pretty scary. And China is flexing its muscles in the Pacific, laying claim to a couple of uninhabited islands in the East China Sea. Those islands are of no consequence by themselves, but China is drawing a big circle around them and claiming the airspace above and the seas around. They are threatening military force to defend their claims. And, of course, there's the threat of terrorism. For most of us, that manifests itself primarily with annoying TSA lines at the airport. Let's hope that's as bad as it gets. But we need to remember that terrible threats are nothing new. 75 plus years ago, the threat was Hitler. And that was a really terrible threat. The war that Hitler started eventually claimed 50 million lives and the devastation of much of Europe. A few years later, the threat was North Koreans and Chinese in Korea. A decade later, it was Vietnam. I mention those only to give us perspective. Yes, it's a tough world, tough and dangerous, but that's nothing new. Somehow we always make it through the tough times. The sun always rises, and the dawn favors those who live in faith rather than fear. In Poor Richard's Almanac, Benjamin Franklin recounted how an elderly man stopped at Franklin's new print shop in Philadelphia. The man had a very grave manner. He asked Franklin if he was the owner of that new print shop. When Franklin said that he was, the old man told Franklin that he felt sorry for him. According to the old man, Philadelphia was a sinking place, and Franklin could expect to lose his investment. Apparently, the old man lived in Franklin's neighborhood because Franklin continued to see him. He said that the old man refused to buy a house because Philadelphia was a sinking place. Franklin was amused several years later when the old man finally gave in and bought a house for 5 times what he would have paid had he bought one when he first started complaining. The old man would have been better off if he had approached life with faith rather than fear. But sometimes it takes lots of faith to believe that we don't live in a sinking place. Sometimes it takes lots of faith to believe that the sun will rise again. Sometimes it takes lots of faith to believe that God is in charge and will bring us through to the other side. It was like that when Isaiah was a prophet. In the reading from the Old Testament this morning, Isaiah chapter 7 verses 10 to 16, Isaiah was speaking to King Ahaz. The enemy had surrounded Jerusalem. It appeared that Jerusalem would fall and the king would be killed. But Isaiah told Ahaz that the Lord would give him a sign. He said that a young woman would conceive and bear a son, and call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah reassured Ahaz that, before the child was 2 years old, God would rescue the people of Jerusalem. The city and the king would be saved. That, in fact, did happen. A young woman would conceive and bear a son, and call him Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. That reminds me of something that the Apostle Paul said to the Christians in Rome. Those Christians didn't have an easy time of it, as you probably know. But Paul said to them, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Romans chapter 8 verse 31. In other words, if God is for us, what does it matter who is against us? Because, if God is for us, we can be sure that we're on the winning side. Let me put those two things together one more time, just to reinforce them. The baby's name, according to the prophet, would be Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means, God is with us. Then Paul says, if God is for us, or with us, who can be against us? If God is for us, or with us, it doesn't really matter who is against us, because we can be sure that God will be on the winning side. If we are on God's side, we'll share God's victory. Emmanuel, God is with us, which is all we really need to know. Our text from Matthew is about the birth of a baby, another baby. Isaiah promised King Ahaz that a baby would be born, named Emmanuel or God with us, and that by the time that baby was 2 years old, God would save Jerusalem. That happened. I believe that a baby was born in Isaiah's time, and that he was named Emmanuel, God with us, and that the city was saved. But our gospel lesson tells us about the birth of another baby. You know the story. Mary and Joseph were engaged but not yet married. Then Mary was found to be pregnant. Joseph, being a righteous man, but a kindly righteous man, didn't want to embarrass Mary any more than necessary, so he intended to put her away secretly. Jewish marriage starts with an engagement arranged by parents, often while the boy and girl are still children. Prior to marriage, couples begin a year-long betrothal similar to marriage except for sexual rites. Betrothal is binding, and can be terminated only by death or divorce. A person whose betrothed dies is considered a widow or widower. She was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit, version 18. There are numerous stories in Greek and Roman mythology of such conceptions, but it is most important that we not lapse into paganism by presenting Jesus as a demigod, half human by virtue of birth from a human mother, half God since begotten by a god. Christian doctrine affirms Jesus' full humanity and full divinity. Deuteronomy chapter 22 verses 23 to 24 says, "If there is a young lady who is a virgin pledged to be married to a husband, and a man find her in the city, and lie with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The lady, because she didn't cry, being in the city, and the man, because he has humbled his neighbor's wife, so you shall put away the evil from the midst of you." Deuteronomy chapter 22 verses 25 to 27 makes an exception for the woman if the act takes place in the countryside where there is nobody to hear her protest, but the man is still to be stoned. Under this law, Mary is subject to death by stoning. However, by the time of Jesus' birth, the Romans are in charge and will not allow Jews to impose the death penalty, John chapter 18 verse 31. Nevertheless, penalties for illicit pregnancy are serious. The man is expected to divorce the woman. The honor code of the Mediterranean world demands that no one take what properly belongs to another. Mary's child is not Joseph's, so he hesitates to take it. The man would also reclaim the bride price, a substantial sum. Joseph is described as righteous, he lives by God's law. However, he is not self-righteous, a quality that would cause him to demand harsh justice. He resolves to divorce Mary quietly so that he might not cause her unnecessary pain. In doing so, he models Christ-like compassion in the face of sin. He also demonstrates a godly balance between the law of Torah and the law of love. He demonstrates that being truly righteous does not mean looking up a rule in a book and then doing the right thing. It means wrestling with the complexities of a problem, listening for the voice of God, and then doing God's thing. But then an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling Joseph not to hesitate to take Mary as his wife. The angel said that Mary would have a son, and they would name the baby Jesus, for it is he who shall save his people from their sins. Jesus. That name comes from the Hebrew Yehoshua, or Joshua, which means, God is salvation. Joseph and Mary were to name the baby Jesus, or, God is salvation, because it would be Jesus who would save God's people from their sins. Then the angel departs, and Matthew, who wrote this gospel, gives us another important piece of the story. Matthew says, "Now all this has happened, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is, being interpreted, God with us." So Mary's baby would have two names. The first was Jesus, which meant, God is salvation. The second was Emmanuel, which means, God with us. That gets confusing, doesn't it? Wasn't Emmanuel the baby born in Isaiah's day? A baby assuring King Ahaz that God would rescue Jerusalem? Yes, that was the case. But Jews often looked at prophecies such as Isaiah's prophecy, and found in them a messianic prophecy, a prophecy about the Messiah's coming. That's what happened here. Yes, there was a baby born in Isaiah's time named Emmanuel, God with us, and that was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. But Matthew tells us that Isaiah's prophecy meant more than that. Matthew tells us that Isaiah was also pointing to the future, to the time when the Messiah would come. When that happened, a virgin would conceive and bear a child, and they would name the child Emmanuel, God with us. And Matthew assures us that Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. A prophecy made during a terrible time. A prophecy made during a time when it seemed clear that Jerusalem would fall, and the people would be slaughtered or enslaved, and King Ahaz would be killed. Isaiah assured the king that he had nothing to fear, because a baby would be born, named Emmanuel or God with us, and that baby would be a sign that God would save his people. And that did happen. Jerusalem was saved. Matthew assures us that Jesus would have two names. The first name, Jesus, would mean, God is salvation. The second name, Emmanuel, would mean, God with us. And, as in the time of Isaiah, this baby would be God's assurance that God would save his people. They shall call his name Emmanuel, version 23. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel tells Mary to name the baby Jesus, Luke chapter 1 verse 31, but this angel does not tell Joseph to name the baby Emmanuel. Instead the angel says that they will name him Emmanuel. They, presumably being the people whom the baby will save from their sins, version 21. In Hebrew, El is a short form of Elohim, a name for God. Emmanuel means, God with us, a meaning which Matthew spells out for non-Hebrew readers. Emmanuel is not a second name by which friends and neighbors will know Jesus. Jesus is his name, and Emmanuel describes his role. Matthew thus begins his gospel with the promise that Jesus is God with us, and will end the gospel with the promise that Jesus will be with us, always, to the end of the age. What a strange way to save God's people. We would do it differently. We would try to get Warren Buffett to help, or Bill Gates, or the founders of Google, or some other billionaire. Just imagine what God could do if he had a billionaire in his pocket. But God doesn't need a billionaire in his pocket. God tends to ignore big money people, because he doesn't need their money. God chose to save his people through the agency of a baby. A baby conceived by an unmarried woman. A baby born in a stable and cradled in a manger, a baby who, when grown up, would have no place to lay his head, Matthew chapter 8 verse 20. Why would God choose such an unlikely way to affect the salvation of the world? Why not tap the brilliance of smart people? Why not tap the wealth of rich people? Let me explain why not. God doesn't choose to hang his plans on the brilliance of smart people or the wealth of rich people, because they have no power to save us. Smart rich people sometimes do wonderful things, but they also do terrible things. Sometimes they help us, and sometimes they hurt us, but they can never save us. Only God can save us, so he chose a baby as his instrument of salvation so that we have no choice but to acknowledge God, and not some rich guy, as our savior. So we come today to acknowledge a miracle, what I call the Christmas miracle. Because the baby came by the power of God, he could and would save the world. God's message to us this Christmas is that real power lies not in the hands of smart, powerful, wealthy people. God holds the real power in his hands and shares it with us as we humble ourselves. As we empty ourselves and invite him to fill us with his spirit. As we become his obedient and faithful servants. God's baby, Jesus, is the sign that it will happen, that it has happened. God's baby, Jesus, is the one who will save us, who has saved us. In his book, Connecting with God, Herb Miller tells about a float in the Rose Bowl parade that stalled, thus blocking the floats behind it and bringing the parade to a stop. They brought in mechanics to tinker with the engine, but it did no good. Finally, someone thought to check the gas tank, which they found to be empty. Then, as someone went to get gas, people began to notice that the sponsor of that float was a major oil company. It didn't matter how many billions of barrels of oil that company had at its disposal. What mattered in that moment was whether there was gas in the tank on that float. Miller concluded by saying that the power Ava, I label to Christians exceeds the power of gas and oil. We live and serve by the power of God, but we must be sure not to let our tank run dry. Not to let the cares of the world block the flow of God's power into our lives. This Christmas, let us enter fully into the joy of the season. Let's enjoy the presents under the tree, and the lights that decorate our homes, and the abundance of food on our tables. But when we say our prayers on Christmas Day, let us not forget to give thanks for Jesus, the one who will save us, the one who has saved us. Let us remember to give thanks for the baby whom God sent to save the world. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. This is Art Achilles for Dr. Rob White and the AULC Ministries saying to go out this week and be a blessing and be blessed. For the more you are a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you for watching and listening, and we hope to see you all again next week. Remember, your life is a story, so be sure to make it a good one.
Thank you for watching and listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. Athens Universal Life Church is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. This has been an AULC Studios video production. Copyright 2012 to 2022 Athens Universal Life Church, all rights reserved.